What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's 11:41 p.m. in rural Pennsylvania, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm Tess Lynch in Los Angeles, and with me I have
Molly Lambert, and in New York,
Emily Yoshida. Guys, I want to start off with an apology. Night Call Apologies Desk, top of show. Apologies to the entire life science team. Who I feel I have offended greatly and must come now, like, hanging my head in shame. We got an email from a writer at Live Science. Subject line, I'm so sad you called Live Science bullshit. And I feel like I owe it to them to set the record straight on Live Science, or LS, as we call it. So I'm just going to read a bit of it because it's a little long, but you'll get the point. I'm so sad you said Life Science is a bullshit site, an aggregator and content farm. To be fair, the awful look of the site and the ads easily obscure the actual content, but to call out something as bullshit, you have to carefully consider what's under the surface. So I don't want to blame you, but I feel like I have to explain. Believe it or not, all stories on LS are original stories with original reporting and interviews. It's widely syndicated to the point that some have called it the Associated Press of Science News. I have a print story above fold in Washington Post that's actually an LS story, and it's widely read. I get more reader emails, the majority of them school children, from my LS stories than my other pubs combined. Do you wonder why the keywords turn up on other sites? That's because the majority of everyday science news is based on press releases of newly published studies, so everyone covers them. We call it the science news churn cycle. And in fact, LS has been great at breaking the news before everyone else frequently. It's also respected by public organizations and agencies. After quitting research, my first journalism job was at LS. I was on all the press calls, from the CDC's to any press briefings by major scientific journals. And it goes on, but...
Emily, I'm so glad that you are admitting you were wrong on this one.
I know.
Because Live Science is the best. It's a real great science website. And I agree with she's saying. It's like there are some ads, you know, that are... seem sketchy. There are those ads that are like, eat this one fruit.
A lot of chum. You know, this one vegetable will destroy
you. But that's on everything. But I think especially right now, it's more important than ever to have verifiable sources on the internet. So especially about science.
And I will say that like from having worked at The Verge and working, you know, a lot with Liz Zapato there, like she did a lot of the same stuff. And there is a lot of stuff that gets released, like these press releases from, you know, different research departments at universities and stuff like that. And I do think it's important, and I'm glad that she clarified this, that like there are people with research backgrounds who are reporting on this stuff and following up and like asking the right questions about these releases, because a lot of times what you'll see is people will just take a release like a research or a study and just publish it without actually looking into the terms of the study, the conditions of it. And this is something that like,
maybe some of the headlines on Live Science seem like it's going to be something clickbaity and insane, but when you read the stories, they're always like very well researched,
it's
measured
true.
Science
it's
stories.
True.
So, Live Science, we love you.
We're sorry.
Best website
ever. I'm sorry. I'm the only one who should be apologizing.
Emily's sorry. Emily was wrong. She was a flat earther about Live Science. So let's actually talk about a great story from Live Science.
Live Science, please sponsor us.
Live Science, please sponsor us. Please forgive Emily. Hashtag Loch Ness Monster, forgive Emily. The ancient Loch Ness Monster from Antarctica broke a record for body size.
We have a very thick, ancient sea reptile.
A very round boy Loch Ness Monster. Paleontologists have discovered the remains of an ancient Loch Ness Monster lookalike in freezing Antarctica. And just like the legendary Nessie, it wasn't the runt of the litter. A four-flippered marine reptile, prehistoric plesiosaur, measured a colossal 36 feet from snout to tail, as long as a modern telephone pole.
Okay. Okay.
Pretty cool.
But it's a plesiosaur. It looks like a Diplodocus.
Yeah, so we can call it Plessy. It's Plessy.
It says it's also quite stocky.
Yes. They really reiterated that.
The heaviest known. And they found it. They found
Again,
the fossils.
Not to double down. It's not a Loch Ness Monster, but it's an amazing, like, sea... It's an amazing reptilian dinosaur, which is cool.
It's a super... Yeah, it's super cool. And let's also credit the writer. This was written by Laura Gegel.
Yeah, let's start crediting the writers on Live Science.
Associate editor at Live Science.
Nice. Good work.
But it's not a Loch Ness Monster.
No, it's a plesiosaur.
But it looks... It looks exactly like what you think a Loch Ness Monster would look like. And it also makes you be like, this is why people think there are Loch Ness Monsters.
Well, no, because people existed long after these dinosaurs.
Right, but the idea that one could be just like left behind.
You think there's one out there?
Well, that's what the Loch Ness Monster is about, right? It's like there's like a
prehistoric it's one that
creature
survived
that didn't
die
out.
But I don't think it's going to be a plesiosaur or plesiosaur.
I don't know. But that one is also in Scotland, famously. Loch Ness. This is in Antarctica.
And yet...
It has a modern cousin who we think is Nessie.
Good work. But you know what is a real deep sea creature?
We have so many sea creatures today. Let's break it down.
Let's build, okay? Let's build up in order of terrifying. Let's start with the octopus city, okay? Which is not news. It's just something that was brought up to us on the Facebook group.
Yeah. I had never heard of this. So this is apparently, this is like a year old, but totally flew under my radar, even though I have many octopus tentacle feelers out for news relating to my favorite marine cephalopods. There are these octopi who have created a city. They're calling it Auklantis. It's in eastern Australia, and I guess everyone always thought that octopus were very solitary creatures, but they've formed a community where they communicate and they kind of warn each other of, like, octopi they don't like coming by. They keep them out. They build these dens out of shells and stuff, and they even evict octopi from their community if they don't like their behavior. This was preceded by another octopus city called Octopolis. That was nearby. I just like it so much. So thank you for posting that in the Nightcallers Facebook group, because that is like, there's an endless stream of delightful articles like this in there. Yes. That I really love.
I feel like we tell ourselves you know, it's not actually octopi, it's octopuses. It's just like hard to say that, but it's, yeah, octopuses. But I think we tell ourselves that they are solitary creatures that don't socialize a lot to make ourselves feel better, because when you start thinking about the possibilities of an octopus city, it gets very uncomfortable to think about your place in the universe very quickly.
It does. Oh, yeah. Overtake us. Overtake us, octopus.
I want to move to Octopolis. Sounds great. Or Octlantis. Either
Octlantis.
Or. Another piece of news that is not news, but also came to us via Twitter. Apparently, there is a... Maybe it's not accurate to say a entire conspiracy theory, but one lady is going real hard on the idea that Monster Energy Drink is satanic. Have you guys seen this video? Apparently it went viral like a couple years ago, and it's been debunked by Snopes and all of that.
I could only watch part of it because it had the energy, so to speak, of making me be like, no, I will not expose my... So this is a woman named Christine White.
Yeah.
Yes. She's also a bad
person. Yeah, she's a very bad person.
We can say. Yes. She's like homophobic and anti-Muslim.
It's fun to laugh at her. But yeah, she is, you know, she'll like interrupt Muslim prayer meetings and shit like that. Like, she's just not chill at all. But she's been... she has a spiel. She has some YouTube videos about...
she's like a right-wing YouTuber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And she, not the only one who has a strong YouTube presence that we will be talking about on today's podcast. But she has I have to say, like, as you say, her energy is very tough to take. She's got this spiel down, you know. If I was dumb, I'd be won over. Apparently, the logo for Monster Energy, which kind of looks like the Jurassic Park 3 logo, it's like three dinosaur scratches, looks like the Hebrew symbol Vav, which can stand for the letter 6. So the label of Monster Energy can read 666.
That's how you do 666.
I know. No. And Rachel is correcting us, which I was going to get to. That is not how you would write 666 in Hebrew. Like, you would write 666. It would not just be those three letters. But if you are Christine Wyke, that would be how you would write it in Hebrew.
Yes. She also, the tagline for Monster Energy Drink is Unleash the Beast.
This feels retro.
It's really retro. Yeah. That's what I like about it.
Of like... 10 it should be from 10 years ago,
maybe even 20
well, she
years
also
ago.
Like the Monster Energy, the O in Monster has a line through it, which is like a five. It's like a Greek letter five. I have no idea why it says that, but she's like, it's a cross because the top of the O is sort of flat, and then she's like, if you turn it the can upside down because you're chugging a Monster Energy drink, it's an upside down cross, the symbol of the Antichrist.
Oh my
it's
god,
it's really great.
I saw the Southland Tales can cut at LACMA, and one of the things they talked about was everybody drinking tons of energy drinks the entire time, because it was during the peak of energy drinks. So Richard Kelly, the director, said everybody was pounding energy drinks constantly, like cast and crew.
The golden age of energy drinks.
In a better world where magazines still existed, we could have a good... oral history of energy drinks. The energy
well, there's a really
boom.
Great blog.
Other than coffee, I've never drunk a whole energy
drink. Oh, really?
I can't handle it
at
all.
Never done
it. Oh, my God. No, I've drank almost any energy drink that's ever been on the market. I have tried. I will try any new energy drink.
Wow.
And I actually, in looking at this thread about this this whole conspiracy theory that was brought to us by a listener, John, one of our several theologian listeners, they were talking about there's another energy drink that's, I guess, a proprietary of the supermarket Aldi, which we've also discussed on this podcast, that has a cross symbol in the middle of it, which they were speculating was counter-marketing to the Antichrist imagery on Monster Energy drink.
That's really funny.
Right,
this that's just, the godly energy drink.
Right, then it's like it's all promo to roll out your influencer energy drink that's like
God water.
God water.
Holy water.
Totally. Yeah.
holy water, put it in the hole where your spirit is.
Yeah. But there was a really great blog about about beverages that I like plan to revisit later because that's totally my up my alley. I love to read reviews of beverages.
What's the best energy drink that you've ever tried?
Yeah, Emily, you would know.
Is, and I don't think they make it anymore, but there was a, like, quote, all-natural energy drink that they sold. I think they had, like, a Trader Joe's, you know, house brand version of it. And then there was, I think, the exact same formula that they sold by some other brand at Whole Foods. And they made an orange one of it. And I could only deal with the full sugar ones because I get headaches off of like sugar free ones. So that was one that was like didn't have too much insane shit in it, and but didn't give me a headache. And I wish I could remember what it's called, but it's not. I don't think they sell it anymore. But it was during the boom. It was like 2005 that I was drinking that a lot.
Tess, what do you do? Just like straight coffee?
I drink coffee. I drink a ton of coffee. Actually, last week I had 2 pots of coffee and I felt like that was a real game changer for me in terms
what
of my monster
pots
energy.
Of coffee?
2 pots of coffee was a lot of cups of coffee, but I was drinking them in my brewmate, actually.
Hey.
I was. And I found, because it stays really cold, and it also makes you able to ignore how many cups of coffee you're drinking, because you're drinking like a huge amount.
A million.
Just, you're like, this is like a 24-ounce cup of coffee. And then today I was telling Molly, I repeated, I don't think I had a full 2 pots of coffee. I had, let's say 10 cups. 10 cups
Jesus
of coffee.
Oh my God. Yeah. I would be dead if I drank 2 cups of coffee or probably 1 full sugar energy drink. I'm just a weak constitution, but I drink the milk tea. That is what is my sprack.
Yeah.
But you don't drink milk. You see,
no,
you drink
but
a,
the milk tea is non-dairy. That's the amazing thing
almond
about
milk?
It. No, it's coconut milk.
Ugh.
It's the best.
No.
My poison is the rose milk tea at 85 degrees Celsius bakery.
I don't know.
Tell me more.
Oh, it's so good. It's like Hong Kong milk tea. It's just like super milky and sugary, but you can get it without a ton of sugar in it. And then it's like got a rose flavored syrup in it. Ooh. And then it gets you, it's like delicious. So you drink it really fast and then you are just through the roof.
The sugar helps move along. My scientific feeling about any energy drink or tea or matcha or anything like that is that you need at least some sugar and fat in it to help it go through your body and affect your brain. That's my
science. The nanobots.
Yeah, I went through a thing a while ago where I cut out all sugar except for fruit for 4 days. And then afterwards, now I cannot drink or eat sugary things like hardly at all. And so now I can't have like sugary coffee or sugary tea, like any kind of sugary drink is it tastes gross to me. Like it makes my teeth feel immediately like they're wearing little sweaters
oh, that's
of like
part
fuzzy
of
sugar.
Joy. That's
not
part.
Into it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. But yeah, I mean, I do think that the sugar definitely, because there is that whole like, it's like the bulletproof thing where you need the fat for sure to kind of like synthesize. Yeah.
That I think is bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit, but
I think drink, like putting butter in your coffee. It's not.
Oh, but it's so
you
good.
You could just use whole milk.
We've been over this before.
I know.
You guys, you.
We got a call from a listener after our transcendental meditation discussion.
So it's actually, we got an email from listener Bobby. Ladies of Night Call, I love the show, but besides my meager Patreon support, I felt like I haven't had anything to contribute until now. After going through a traumatic event in the military, I was made aware of the David Lynch Foundation and its subsidized TM courses for veterans. I've been practicing it now for over 6 months, and it's been extremely helpful for me in battling PTSD as well as my pre-existing depression and anxiety. Nobody that I've met at the organization has given me a culty vibe, and like Brian said, they haven't intruded into my life after the initial training. I'm not one for evangelizing, but I wish everyone could give TM a shot. Also, Emily, I had the pleasure of meeting you on a side street in Laredo, Mexico a couple years ago, unless that was a weird dream.
I mean, I was definitely in Laredo, Mexico a couple years ago, so it's probably me. Was I wearing a Lana Del Rey shirt? Hi, Bobby. We were talking about this more, I think, after our chat with Brian Koppelman, which you can go back and listen to if you haven't listened to it yet. And I think that the money thing is probably the biggest, like, red flag that we have about TM, right? As far as, you know.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that Transcendental Meditation helped Bobby with PTSD and managing anxiety. And also thank you for your service. But my issue is that I think it should be affordable for everyone. And there was a really interesting first-person account. I think it was in Vancouver Magazine. And the journalist basically, it's just that it's about $1,500 to kind of initiate yourself to get the secret information, which is basically your mantra. But also it's the ceremony. And the journalist who wrote this piece about her experience with this said that she was not allowed to talk about the ceremony as well as the mantra. She asked what the mantra meant. They were like, it doesn't mean anything. It's fine. Then she looked it up and found that it does have some meaning and that it was given to, I think, all of the female members who were, you know, at her seminar that day or whatever. There's also this thing. And again, like, this is all in this thing that I read. So I don't have any firsthand knowledge of this.
We'll link
but,
to it.
Yeah, we'll link to it. The kind of, like, selling point of, like, you can levitate to me.
Oh, well, that's like fringy, though, within it, right? Like, I don't
well,
know.
I've seen the DVD where David Lynch explains the levitating.
Yeah.
What it really is it's like you are sitting and meditating and you sort of start to, like, bounce in place.
Yeah.
It's very silly seeming. However, I will say I totally believe in meditation as a mental health practice.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that it is not pseudoscience. I think it is, like, real, and that it does, like, lower your heart rate or whatever, you know, change the way your brain works.
Absolutely.
And it should be free, and it is free. You can meditate for free.
Yeah.
I think both of my parents took TM and have, you know, nothing bad to say about it. I think it's like they did it once. They, like, got their mantras and got out. But again, it's like, I don't think they hound
you for
the rest.
Get your mantras and get out.
They do not hound you for the rest of your life.
No.
If you try to disengage, which is different from some culty things. So I think that is, like, at least you can get out.
I've read that you should look into a book called The Relaxation Response by Herbert Benson, because it's basically the same thing, but a book that doesn't cost $1,500. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Because, yeah, I mean, meditating is awesome. And I definitely think that the scholarships are a great idea. I think it's just that nobody should have to pay $1,500 for a mantra. Just my personal opinion.
I'm looking forward to getting to the point where I can try it and report back to you all. But of course, I won't tell you my mantra. But, you know, just we can have some
yeah. But
primary
also
reporting here.
TM want to sponsor us?
Oh yeah,
hell yeah,
do it.
We might change our tune.
You know, I think that the main benefit of meditation right now is that it means that you have to look away from a screen. And the reason you might want to look away from a screen is this really terrifying new study.
Oh, my God.
Molly, take it away.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
This is a wild ass episode, I have to say.
I wanna like, say
this is, we've got like everything going on this one.
This is a great night call. maybe not a great time in
society, but a great episode.
Yeah, a great episode. And also, I will say that because Emily made me paranoid about live science and the sources, and I was like, I don't know where anything's being sourced from, really. I assume these people are real. I, like, double checked it with other sources.
Oh, yeah. BBC, can't argue
and
with
BBC
that.
And BBC also reported on this. So this is from the BBC link. How Modern Life is Transforming the Human Skeleton by Zaria Gorvet. The emergence of a spiky growth at the back of some people's skulls is causing people to wonder why we are all growing a weird bone on the back of our skulls. And it turns out it's from smartphone usage.
How?
So just to be clear, though, basically this phenomenon has existed for a long time, but it was very rare. And now it's as many as 1 in 4 people between the ages of 18 and 30 are growing these spikes at the base of their skulls that they vary in size. Some of them have been big.
I have been a clinician for 20 years, and only in the last decade, increasingly, I have been discovering that my patients have this growth on the skull, says David Shahar, a health scientist at the University of the Sunshine Coast, Australia. The spike-like feature, also known as the external occipital protuberance, is found at the lower back of the skull, just above the neck. If you have one, everyone feel. If you have one, it's likely that you will be able to feel it with your forefingers.
Do you guys have it?
I can't tell. It's all I've been doing is feeling my neck, trying to feel if I have it, because I don't want it.
So some of them are up to 30 millimeters, which is you
That's
is big.
And they nasty, say yeah.
If you have no hair, they can even be visible. Yeah. So it's because it's to offset the weight of your head. So if your head is looking down at your phone, it's 10 pounds of strain. So the bone is trying to kind of offset that weight by adding more weight to the back to balance it out.
That's not very much weight, though. It's just a little.
It is.
It's just the tip of the ice, the Skullberg.
As we hunch over our phones, we crane our necks and hold our heads forward. This is problematic because the average head weighs around 10 pounds, as much as a large watermelon, as we all know, thanks to Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
And everybody has something called text neck, which is because your head is not meant to be craning over a phone all the time. It's really bad for you. And it's making people grow bones.
It's really bad for you might be misleading. It is bad for you to look at the smartphones, but the bone itself is not a bad thing.
They said also people's elbows are shrinking.
Yes, people are getting weak elbows and weak and smaller jaws. But you know what? Okay, so I was doing this the other day. My phone told me that I had been looking at it way too much. And I put down my phone and I rolled my eyes up. So I was looking at the ceiling. And just by just doing that, I realized it had been so long since I had looked up and then looked to the sides. And it felt like exercising if you've never exercised before in your life.
You have to exercise your eyes.
You have to exercise your eyes.
Well, this also fits in with what an eye doctor told me that scared the fuck out of me a few years ago when I saw her. My eye doctor said that she was just seeing people's vision go bad really fast, a lot more than ever before because of smartphone usage.
Yeah.
She was like, everyone's vision is degrading. She was like, there's no like official studies on it, but just like anecdotally from being an eye doctor, I can tell you that like kids are looking at screens from the beginning of their lives. It's like not good for your eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
The question is, how are our bodies going to adapt to that?
This is all just like.
Is this I think it's in a Philip K. Dick book where everybody has like enlarged skulls or something from I don't know, it's like some way in which people have
Well, it's also scary because there was like some horrible thing this week where some racists basically tried to bring up like skull size, like phrenology.
Right.
Like,
oh right. Wasn't it like Quillette or some shit like that?
Yeah. Some garbage.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to like look at my phone. Like I always feel like I'm like reacting against this on some level at all times. Like I'm trying to do the eye exercises, and
Tess and I are both looking at the ceiling right now and being like,
I never look up. I think if you wear glasses, obviously this becomes a vicious cycle. So you're looking at screens a lot. You get glasses, and then you're not looking above your glasses because you can't see. So it restricts your field of vision to below your eyebrows.
It's just also like we've all had these things for 10 years. What is like the thing that would make you rethink it? Maybe a bone growing out of your skull.
But the bone, again, the bone itself is not bad. I'm just going to say, like, I'm not going to be hating on the bone.
Like, it's just like it's like de-evolution. We're going to.
It's not. It is evolution.
But what if it's de-evolution? What if this is going to, like, people will be on all fours, like, very soon?
Maybe that would work out better for our lifestyles. I think the most interesting thing in this article was that I had never heard of osteobiography. But osteobiography is basically studying how people's bones tell the story of how they lived their lives and animals as well.
Oh,
and it's not, it's like a non-judgmental, like, you know, it's a very kind of like neutral study. And they mentioned a goat, I think, in the BBC link, where the goat had like adapted because it didn't have front legs. So it had to adapt and its skeleton changed. And it makes sense. I mean, the things that you do repetitively are going to have an impact.
I'm just saying, you guys want to be like craned over with your head like a wilting flower.
No,
all the time.
But the bone is not the bad thing.
But the phones are the bad thing.
Yes. But the bone, it's natural to freak out at something like that. But there are studies of people who just had crappy posture and were reading too much and had these bone spikes back in the day.
Right.
Bone spikes.
I mean, the eye stuff is a little more alarming to me because I feel like there's always something, there's always been some activity that will alter your physiology. Like,
right.
Because you're a miner or something, or you work in a textile factory and have a horrible lung infection or whatever the fact may be.
So we all have blog neck.
We have blog
neck.
Yeah,
basically. Like, I mean, there's always been like an activity, a dominant activity that like causes some sort of malady, like widespread. So I don't think that that's new. It's just like this is linked to something particularly new. I think the eye thing feels different though, because that's something having to do with an organ instead of like a musculoskeletal thing. Like that, like the quality of light that we've been seeing in our lives hasn't fundamentally changed until we started looking at screens all day, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's interesting to think about.
Do you guys know Day of the Triffids?
No, what's that?
It's a early, like, British sci-fi. It's about plants that take over. It's the best.
Yes, I love plants taking
it's plant
over.
Plant horror.
Yes.
And it's like cozy catastrophe. It's like about a group of people trying to escape from the plants that are taking over everything. But it's like they breed a plant and then it turns out the plant, like, squirts out a poison and it makes every human blind.
Oh, I have seen this.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Yeah, well, it's kind of like the, you know, the spitting dinosaurs from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's what the
But I think the thing
are,
to
man.
Consider with the bone spikes is that without the bone spike,
every time
right?
you say it, I sit up straight.
I know, me too. Without the bone spike, you're getting more neck strain. The bone spike is your body trying to help itself out. That's why I say don't hate the bone spike.
Like...
hate the phone spike. You know what I mean? Because the bone is just trying to help you. No, hold the applause. It wasn't worth it. But you know what I mean?
We should start a YouTube channel for you to be like the preacher.
Oh my god!
Yeah, you should.
The bones. Don't be mad at the bone spike.
Be mad at the phone spike.
I just feel like everybody who knows me is probably like not worried about me getting a bone spike because I'm terrible at responding to texts and emails and stuff like that. Because I'm always the person who's like, what if I'm not looking at my phone right now? What if I'm just like experiencing life and then
well,
people
good
get mad
for
at
you.
Me.
That's what no,
I need
that
to respond
should be...
to my texts.
No, but there should be more pushback against being on your phone all the time. It's like we passed the omega of like everyone's on their phones all the time. What if we like can go back?
But here's the thing. Here's the problem. And I have kids, but I think that people run into this also if they are a caretaker of any kind, is that this is the problem, is that you get locked in, whether you have kids or you're taking care of, you know, an elderly parent or a sibling who can't take care of themselves. There is like an expectation. I mean, that's actually where technology, I think, has been so useful. A couple weeks ago, my son was at school and he ran into a staircase and he needed stitches and he was at school. And I was not at home. And the thought that, like, you know, you have your emergency contact,
right,
but
that's
who
like
could
a
they
phone.
Call,
that's
but
a
then
phone.
They can reach you.
I'm fine with having a phone. I'm saying, like, no
for
internet on the
call.
Phone.
Yeah, for telephone
No
calls.
Internet on the phone, I can
yeah.
understand. But
no
I don't
more
know.
Instagram,
there's also, like,
no more Twitter,
But it'd have to be smart enough for texting.
Now that there are garbage calls all the time, though, not even having
yeah,
a phone
true.
Makes
right.
any sense. Because
right.
I don't pick up anything from a number I don't recognize.
Text,
and it could be an emergency. And I do occasionally, like, 1 in 10 calls. I'll pick up as long as it's not from Moldova.
No, I know. All that stuff is stupid.
Yeah.
But like I'm saying, like, that's fine. Those are all like using your phone when there's a reason is
right.
fine. But just the purposeless, like always being on it, always scrolling, like missing your life because you're on your phone.
You know what I think? So this is only somewhat related. So the other day I was talking with my dad because it was Father's Day, and he and I were both complaining about like we had been behind drivers who were obviously texting. And I was like, do you think that it is like the responsibility of car manufacturers as well as cell phone manufacturers to disable a phone in the car other than for calls? Like, do you think that that's kind of the new seatbelt thing where there's going to be like an annoying noise that will go on if your phone
no,
like
this
it disconnects,
all should have
it shuts
happened,
down,
but this is the
it
whole
can only
thing.
Be used for calls.
This is like, no, this no. should have been thought about. It's like unsafe at any speed.
But I'm bringing it up now.
It won't happen until somebody famous dies from it.
No, and... I think, I don't know about that because it's the kind of thing where if there were a bill introduced, it would be really hard for anyone to be like, I disagree. If you're driving,
oh,
you should be able to
oh, yeah.
use
a lot
the
of people
internet.
Are
I never make a nanny state joke unless I'm in like a rental car where it starts doing the beeping thing because I haven't buckled my seatbelt yet or somebody else hasn't buckled their seatbelt yet. And then I just scream like, nanny state, fuck you. I like turn into
The difference, Emily, is that, and I totally agree, the difference is that you are risking your safety in life with a seatbelt, but you are risking other people's safety when you're texting.
I'm not saying but I'm right. I'm just saying that that's like the easiest time that joke comes
up. I think we're too far gone. I think it's just not going to go
It's going to happen. Mark my words. In 10 years, this will happen. I guarantee it.
I mean, like, honestly, what we need is like large-scale regulation of like Uber and every other company
that exists.
Like the scariest Uber I was in was where like recently where a driver was texting the whole time
and God.
I was like
did you report them?
No, because it was also late at night and we were on the freeway and I was like I don't want to be confrontational with this person who I'm in a car with while they're driving me because like they could also like steer us into traffic if they want. Like that's what's just, you know.
I would want everybody who listens to the show who's ever been in an Uber where somebody, where the driver is texting, fucking call that shit out, ask to be let out. Like don't fuck around with it. I've got into fights with friends because they're texting and I'm driving them. I'm like, how will you feel when you kill me? I don't know. I sound like the fucking guy in Smithereens, but like that's why I find it so depressing that the response to that Black Mirror episode was like, oh, texting or driving, like, wank, wank, wank. And it's like, no, it's like a real thing that kills people every day. Yeah. It's not.
I have so many ideas about this, you guys, because it's not just the texting. It's the wanting to read an article.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, someone should just do a thing where they pay, like, you know, there's like a service and it just finishes. It's someone who's sitting at home and they finish reading you the thing that you were reading. They just call you up. And they're like, okay, where were you? All right, I'm going to finish. And then they'll be like, there's a link here. You want me to click the link? And you're like, yes.
You
and then they read you that.
Just
and
invented it's like phone a whole sex. New depressing
here's
economy.
What's gonna, but also, here's the
I'll
thing.
I'll do it.
They're
I'll
not thinking
it.
About that because they're thinking about how can we make driverless cars so that you never have to leave your phone and the robot's just driving the car.
Yeah, well, I also think that I have an idea about
scary,
that, you guys. Look
well,
at all this coffee.
Yeah, that's like letting the text message drive the car.
You know what I'm into is conveyor belt freeways, where you park your car and it's a conveyor belt and then you just like program in your stop and then you're back out. And when you're back on the street, you can drive. But while you're on the freeway, you're on a conveyor belt in neutral or park or whatever,
are you describing
reading your phone.
A train?
I am, but it's your own personal train. It's your own car of the train, right? But it is a train. But
you
get
to
have it.
You just
it's
invented
yours.
Is the people mover.
Yeah, you invented
yes,
the people
true.
Mover from
yeah.
Disney. You invented the Roosevelt Island tram.
I thought you were. I was picturing also giant conveyor belts, like standing conveyor belt freeways.
I'm into that too.
Like that idea a lot.
I'm into all of it.
I love driving, though. You guys, can I just say, driving's great. We should move on to the next horrifying thing that we have to talk about because we have so many left and we don't have much time left. So.
Yeah. Night Call says, hey, don't text and drive.
Don't text and
we
drive.
We don't have much time
text.
Left.
And don't you check your Instagram. Don't take a fucking picture of yourself on the 405.
Don't.
It can wait. But if you need someone to finish reading the article to you, just email me. And if I'm at home, I'll pick up the phone, I'll call you, and I'll finish reading it so that you can concentrate on driving.
At the $150 a month level of our Patreon test, we'll do that for you.
That's really
I actually am dead serious. I'll do it. Yeah. It'll save lives.
Yeah.
True.
Okay, we have an email from Zach. Again, I hate it. Most of our topics this week, I think the theme for me, at least personally, is I hate it. okay, hi, Night Call. Zach here from the greatest city on earth, Canberra, Australia. I've been making my way through every episode, currently knee-deep in the ocean creatures phase, and just wondering what your thoughts are on the elbow squid. I vividly remember the first time I saw that video from under the oil rig in religion class in year 10 of the squid just floating a ways off and the sheer dread I felt looking at it just floating there with its elbow tentacles. I think about them every time I go into the ocean. Now that they've been filmed a few more times, the spooky sheen has wiped off a bit, but still, they've got to be aliens, right? I mean, odds are if a ship landed, it would go into the ocean, given that that's most of the planet. Thank you, Zach. I mean, like, not thank you, though. I hate this so much. I can't believe I've never seen this before. So the elbow squid, it's also called the big fin squid. So the big fin squid is not to be confused with the big fin reef squid, which is like more like a, it looks a little more like cuttlefishy. The big fin squid
looks like a terrifying spider that lives very deep in the ocean. I think all the places they found it has been 9,000 feet deep, like thereabouts. It is a pretty large squid that can...
But mostly tentacles. It's mostly comprised of these.
But the tentacles are like 20 feet long. Like it's big. And its head, I forget what that's called on a cephalopod, but it's kind of narrow, but it's got these huge wings, which is why it's called the big fin squid. It was not really regularly observed until later in the 20th century, and there wasn't really a clear video of it until I think 2000. That's the video that that Zach was referring to. I will invite everybody to do a Google image search or a YouTube search of it, because I find this creature extremely upsetting. I hate it so
Emily,
much.
Why? I wasn't scared of it. I was like, when, you know, you gave us a warning to Google with caution, and I saw it, and yes, it's, for some reason, there is something kind of freaky about the very thin, long tentacles.
Well, sometimes they look really stiff, like they look like daddy long legs. Like,
do you not like daddy long
legs? No, I hate daddy long legs. Are you kidding me?
Oh, interesting.
Daddy long legs are cool.
No.
They eat other bugs.
I mean, sure, yes.
I'm not anti. The only thing that bugs me about the daddy long legs is when you see one lose its leg and then everything just goes into the creepy town.
I hate it. I respect
spiders. And so I respect these sea spiders and these squids that look like spiders.
I detest and respect spiders. I have octopuses were like my first big fear, like my real boogeyman when I was a kid, because I would just watch this episode of Nature over and over and over again that had like a scene with an octopus in it. And I would just watch that scene just to freak myself out constantly when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really, like, most octopuses don't really do that for me anymore. But when I saw this video, I was taken all the way back to that, like, four-year-old feeling of, like, oh, God, like, what's under the ocean? The weirdest things.
I gotta say, like, it's a cliche, but the squid and the whale thing at the Natural History Museum, just truly one of the most frightening things in the world.
Yeah.
Because you get close to it and you feel like it's going to come alive.
Yeah. It's got eyes.
Yeah, and just the way it's lit. I love the whole thing, but I remember just like seeing it as a kid and being like, imagine being in the ocean and you see this.
Yeah.
Like, we are so meaningless.
You know what
this
the elbow
happening.
Squid looks like to me as a scalp massager?
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't look exactly like that.
Yeah. I think
that's
what's
kind of uncanny
about
uncanny
it. What's uncanny is it has an elbow, as we humans are losing
but
our elbows.
But it has no bones.
Right.
Or does it have bones?
But maybe we're going to become more like the elbow squid. Tess and I are both kind of making our arms go like squish. Right,
it feels really good.
They're like doing like jazz hands or something.
We're doing
what the smartphones have done. They've made us forget to do our squid hand
squid
exercises
hand.
To make our bones
just like
right.
Jennifer North.
This is like the OA. It's going to turn into us eventually doing some kind of like squid
dance.
Yes, it will.
The six squid movements. Squid. But so the idea of it being an alien is not all that far-fetched, simply because it was so recently discovered. Like, nobody knew about this thing until, like, you know, 50 years ago or something. And even then, they didn't really know how to classify it. It finally got a genus in the 90s. So nobody really knew what, you know, nobody had really lined up all these different sightings of the same thing.
So that's the best.
Yeah. So it does feel like something genuinely alien, because it's not. If you went to school or like loved sea creatures in the 70s, you wouldn't have known about this thing. Like, nobody knew about it. It's like a new form.
There's
of
still
life.
Things.
Yeah. There's still new things.
Still new things. Hey, but some of those things are terrible things. And I think that we should close our show by talking about one of them that also kind of tangentially involves creatures.
Yay.
Which is, yay. So this is something that has escaped our attention for a while, even though this is based in events that happened a couple of years ago. There is currently a murder trial, or I guess the murder trial just concluded, featuring a man and a woman, who were involved in an alien reptile cult.
Yeah.
And so a lot of information has now become kind of more mainstream about this alien reptile cult. And of course, thank you to the night caller who brought this to our attention. I was like,
yeah.
Whoa, alien reptile cult. Tell me more.
So I don't know if you can classify it as a cult. I mean, it is certainly out there. And this lady feels like a real piece of work that's sort of the main proprietor of it, Sherry Schreiner. Prophet, seer, which is...
A lot of good names. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of good pinch-in names on the podcast today.
Yep. But she describes herself as a prophet, seer, which is misspelled, ambassador, messenger, and daughter of the Most High. And she has a strong internet presence. She's got a Twitter. She's got a YouTube with an alarming amount of views on it. And most importantly, she has a Patreon with 9 subscribers that bears an uncanny resemblance to the Night Call Patreon.
Horrifying to discover this. So Sherry Schreiner, by the way, Sherry Schreiner has died, but her online presence is maintained.
Yeah.
Her website, don't look at it, but we'll tell you about it. Oh, I looked at it too. I don't want to drive traffic to her. She's a terrible, again, another, you know, like the monster energy drink conspiracy theorist. She is not a good person. She's very awfully anti-Semitic, transphobic, xenophobic, all of that.
Take your pick.
Because, of course, she believes that, you know, there are reptilian aliens who are masquerading as humans and they're going to bring about the new world order.
All that good stuff.
Order. And she also has in some of her videos celebrity faces, and she's talking about how she can prove that they are reptile aliens.
It's so all the classic lizard people stuff.
Classic,
like,
yes.
Like they have things where it's like, oh, we have slowed down imagery of like somebody's eyes doing like a reptile blink, that kind of thing. Like that, yeah, that variety.
But it got even weirder because so during this murder trial where this woman whose name is Barbara Rogers, also a good pinch-in name, Barbara Rogers is accused and has been convicted of third degree manslaughter, I think, of killing her boyfriend who was a member of this group. And during the course of their relationship, Barbara Rogers was not as down with Sherry Schreiner's whole rhetoric as her boyfriend was. And at one point, this woman posted a picture of steak tartare on Facebook and was like, great with some minced garlic. And Sherry Schreiner flipped out and was like, I think I even have a quote from her here.
Oh,
they crave the blood, those with the vampire demon in them.
Yeah.
So she was like, I know that this woman is a witch and a vampire and a reptile.
She described her as a vampire, witch, reptilian super soldier.
There we go.
And told Stephen that like she had basically prophesied that this his girlfriend, who I guess was also involved with this, but maybe wasn't.
Just less so
that like she was going to bring about his doom. Like she would harm him or kill him or something. So I think that this led to this fight where, and according to Barbara, who shot her boyfriend point blank in the head, but he was holding his gun to his own head and making her shoot.
Yeah, he was like, pull the trigger. And she was like, okay, which also,
I mean, nope.
What else is it?
I don't think anybody made the right decision in this situation. but it is like, it's kind of bizarre that it's like, you know, she was, it's basically a self-fulfilling prophecy in like the most obvious way possible. But I don't know. When did she die? I didn't realize that she had died.
I think she died in 2016. I think it was supposed to be the year before the murder occurred.
Oh, interesting. Okay, because I was watching one of her many videos, and she was talking about how many attempts there had been on her life, that people are constantly trying to poison her and kill her. But I didn't realize that she was...
Oh, maybe she's still alive. I thought I read that she had died.
Oh. Well, I kind of started going down.
Maybe she's a lizard person now.
She's got a lot of like diversified interests. One of them, she's very interested in like the raw meat thing and also like cannibalism at restaurants. There's a lot of videos of people dragging what are supposed to be body bags on security cameras at hotels to the kitchens of like hotel restaurants to serve up human meat. That's a common theme. And but the thing is that like like you hear all this stuff and you're like, it's pretty fringy. You see she only has like 9 followers on Patreon. You're like, okay, it's pretty fringy. But the videos are like where, and this is like goes back to everything that people have been talking about YouTube right now, where it's just like if you get on an algorithm, like I'm sure my algorithm is affected now because I've watched like 4 of her videos or like part of 4 of her videos.
Oh, you can't watch anything without it leading you to the worst things in the world. It's honestly, it's like, I feel like a lot of these things, they're like, it's an experiment. We just like, we're not allowed to intervene because we have to see how the experiment takes its course, you know? Yeah. And it's like, oh, guess what? It leads to fascism always. That's why you have to intervene.
And it leads to domestic dispute, which like comes down to the belief in this, you know, really, really far out there conspiracy theory that like, you know, directly caused somebody's death.
And it's
by the way,
a lot of things.
Yeah. I just fact checked. So Schreiner died less than a year after Mineo.
Okay,
who was the boyfriend?
Because she's talked about this whole case. Like after his death, she's discussed it. It's very exhausting, and it's like.
It is.
I find all this stuff to be like just deceptively easy to like laugh about or just kind of gawk at until you realize like, I mean, the cold shower at the end is like how many people have actually been watching this stuff. And maybe just out of like morbid curiosity.
No,
maybe,
a lot of those things where you're like, real people don't believe this. And you're like, oh, they do. Things like anti-vaxxing, obviously.
Right, yeah.
That we've been talking about recently.
Yeah. Well, also, I think it was in the New Republic who wrote about this same case earlier this month, but they were talking about how cults and these conspiracy theories, that YouTube is kind of the perfect medium for getting people into these cults because you do enter a trance-like state. And Sherry Schreiner was very, you know, infrequently. And they were like, maybe it's the fact that people who are watching all of these videos and kind of consuming like hour after hour after hour of video, it does kind of like numb you and you're receiving information and you can't really tell what's real or false.
And if you watch any history documentary, it leads you to a bunch of Nazi bullshit.
Yeah. Yep. You can't just like learn about history without it being fraught in some way on YouTube.
Because people are gaming it who are attempting to be like, oh, what, you're interested in history?
Yeah.
Here's some fucked up racist bullshit.
Here's some history. So, yeah. What can we learn from this?
If you've got any questions about lizard people, aliens, undersea aliens,
if there are any good, like I feel like the lizard people one is one of these just like boilerplate conspiracy theories that's been going around for a while. And like, I feel like we kind of just like, I feel like everybody's just like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, that's what crazy people believe in. But if there's anyone that you think deserves our scrutiny for whatever particular reason, let us know. We'll check it out because we're really down to mess up our algorithm on YouTube. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The algorithm's trash. Let's make it
even trashier. Also, if you have thoughts about how to improve driver safety, how to keep the bone spikes out of our skulls, or how to improve the modern experience, please give us a call.
I just keep picturing somebody like LOLing and just like impaling themselves on their own bone spike.
You can't. It's in the back of your head.
Yeah, but you just like laugh. You like throw your head back too hard.
I'm just saying eventually it's going to be like a unicorn horn. But anyway, give us a call at 240-46-NIGHT or an email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also support us on our Patreon. We're at patreon.com/nightcall. We just put out our first ever book club episode on Valley of the Dolls. It's great. It was a lot of fun to do. So definitely check that out. We're also starting our new book club where we're going to be reading Ghostland by Colin Dickey. So go out and grab a copy and support us on Patreon if you want to be in on that next month. And be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. We love it so much. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Night Call Pod, Instagram, Night Call Podcast, and Facebook at Night Call Podcast. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.